I found this in Gunner room. Gunner mirror at me.
What is it?
Well, it's a performance.
Welcome to Synthaholics, guys. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is Aaron O'Brien. And we've got Ashley Robinson and Jason Inman with us again today. It seemed like only yesterday you guys were with us.
Aw, that's so sweet.
And I'm sure they feel the same way, too. Weren't we just with these guys yesterday? Oh, boy.
Well, as I always say, tomorrow is always yesterday.
There you go. I love that title. I have no idea what it has to do with the actual title. I mean, the actual show. Obviously, they go back to the 1960s, but yeah, I don't know. It's just weird title. I like it, though.
Definitely a good one.
Yeah. They have pretty kick-ass titles for the original series.
They have the best titles because then it always kind of breaks down to, like, one word. You know, and it's always like, oh, like, I don't know,
Salvation,
yeah, or redemption, and you're like, okay, I get it, that's your through line, but come on.
You could have been a little clever.
Devil in the Dark.
Well, Devil in the Dark is a cool one.
I love that one.
Yeah, that's a great one. So
I think the best one just off of title is For the Sky is Hollow and I Have Touched the Sky.
Yeah.
For the world is hollow and I have touched the sky.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. I do think the original series has some pretty good titles for just, you know, for way back when. And some of the Next Generation has some pretty cool titles. Deep Space Nine has some cool titles.
Yes, they do.
Yeah,
DS9 is one of my favorite series. The Pale Moonlight. I love that.
Oh, that's my favorite episode.
That's one of Dave's, too. Well, we're not here to talk about me and Dave's favorite episodes. We're here to talk about the Red Shirt Diaries.
That's right.
How many episodes do you guys have left?
Two
whole episodes left.
Two more. So is the next one, I know you all teased last time that Larry Nemechek shows his face in one of them. So is it the second to last one, or is it the last one?
You heard Larry Nemechek.
Yes. Yes, we did.
Release on Monday.
Body doubled by Jason Inman.
Body doubled by me.
But yeah, he will be in next week's episode. He's a pretty big part of the episode, too, because we have this running joke about Ensign Williams and her particular feelings about Dr. McCoy. So,
right,
yeah,
it's gonna be fun times.
She's crushing hard on him.
Heck yeah, he's a silver fox.
That's great.
That's the best kind of fox.
Yeah. Right.
So the one thing I was wondering obviously you watch the Red Shirt Diaries and then your mind's going back to all the original episodes when you saw them. The alternative factor is the one episode, I think, on the original series, the first season, that I just do not like whatsoever.
It's not a great episode.
Yeah, with Lazarus. It's so trippy. I mean, it's almost too trippy. You know, I don't know. It's just like, you know, they're fighting in that like weird tunnel with the energy around them and stuff like that. I don't know. It's such a weird episode.
Quintessential 60s.
Yeah, no, it's very odd. But is any of them that you've gone back and you watch and you're like, man, I really don't like this episode as much? Are there any of those episodes that you saw?
I have never liked Charlie X.
Yeah,
Charlie
X
never will.
Always stands out as like one of the worst episodes. There were some that were difficult, and there were some that like weren't necessarily bad episodes, but we didn't have a strong idea for, like, because Jason and I watched them all and then, you know, came up with some ideas, and then we had our writer's room, we let people pitch, and we didn't have really any good idea for City on the Edge.
Oh, right.
And then Mia Rosella came in with this really great idea about jumping through the different realities, and like that's probably the best episode of Star Trek ever made.
Mm-hmm.
So just because something is really great or really not great doesn't always mean that our version of it is like easier or more difficult to produce. Like, we also had a really difficult time with Tomorrow is Yesterday, This Side of Paradise. Like, just some stuff, there's not a lot of comedy there.
Right.
And when you're trying to write a comedy show, you're like, okay. hey, what do we make funny now?
Right. And how does it work for writing? I mean, how many people – because I noticed there's different writing credits for a lot of these. So, like, do you guys work in pairs with different people, or do you – you know, how does that work out when you're trying to come up with a script for any of these?
Well, Ashley and I would always watch the episode, and then from there we would write down our initial ideas. Where that's where like the idea for Gertrude in episode one came from, because we were like, "Oh, in the man trap, for some reason Sulu has this weird, weird plan." So yeah. let's make the episode all about that.
Right.
For this season, we had a bunch of people ask us that they wanted to write, and so what we did is that Ashley and I watched every episode of our next batch, and we came up with what we thought the episode would be. And then we had five other people come in, and we all met, and we had everybody had the opportunity to pitch.
Oh, wow.
And if we thought that their idea was better than our idea, we gave them the episode.
Hmm.
And then we let them do two drafts on the script, and then the third draft I always gave a final pass on, because I put myself as like showrunner.
Okay.
Because we had some
he didn't just appoint himself, like he was very obviously the showrunner from the
but it was a thing of like, because we did have one writer like try to sneak a holodeck through, and I was like, we can't do a holodeck.
Yeah,
you're
yeah,
killing
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like we've got limitations here, people.
Also, Continues did a holodeck not too long ago.
Yeah.
And we there's nothing about our show that can compete with what they do, and we're not trying to do that. So that was another like reason why we wanted to sidestep it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, yeah, that makes sense. And when you're writing, how much time does it take to actually put together a script? I mean, obviously, then other than the person going home and pounding it out, but how much do you go back and forth and rewrites and stuff like that? Does it take a couple days? Or are we talking a little bit longer than that?
I mean, the whole process, we took a lot of time with it. I think we wrote from the first, not counting This Side of Paradise, because we had to write that to shoot immediately that December. I think we spent 3 months on the scripts.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But I mean, if you cut down all the time, I'm sure it's something like...
It's probably like two or three days.
Yeah. But, we didn't want anyone to be rushed. We wanted it to be fun. We really wanted...
Everybody also had full-time day jobs, so it was like...
Yeah.
So every time we asked for a draft, everybody had like 2 weeks to do it.
Yeah.
Sure.
And the people who we were giving scripts to as well, like we really wanted them to be able to get like as close to what we were going to film as possible out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just less work for us. But like we did polish like every draft, and we had sessions too where we read them all and people offered notes. So everyone's fingers are on almost every episode, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Except like the last.
Yeah.
We're almost exclusively us and mostly Jason.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Amazing.
Yeah, it's funny. Like I think I wrote the last two almost exclusively by myself,
wow.
and the Trelane episode as well.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I love the Trelane episode.
Yeah,
I mean honestly, the Squire Gathos watching it gets a little like okay, but
that episode to me is about as painful as Charlie X. But your guys' take on it was awesome.
I really like it because it lends itself to something like what you guys are doing more than the serious side of Star Trek.
Exactly.
He's a pompous asshole. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we get Q in Next Gen, but this guy's just a little more insufferable than Q.
Has like class though, whereas like Trelane does not.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Trelane's a baby.
Well, I guess,
giant baby.
He's a baby Q.
Yeah, for real.
A giant baby.
And they spank him just like Charlie X got spanked.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Charlie X gets so uncomfortably weird.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff going on over there. Where Kirk without the shirt in the wrestling match with Charlie.
Why am I not supposed to hit her on the bottom?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What? That was wrong? What?
I just say that's still not my least favorite, but yeah, that's a weird episode as
down
well.
Down on the list.
Yeah, that's a down on the list. So it takes a couple of days to go through a script, and then you guys have to actually, film it. And and then the filming now, I'm assuming that it takes, because last time you guys talked, you said it takes a couple, quite a few takes to get everything just right. And then
we can't all be William Shatner and be perfect on the first take.
That's right.
Oh no.
Nor would you want to.
No, he doesn't get things perfect on the first
take.
I'd
take his career.
Yeah. And then how much does it take for editing? That's the thing. That's probably the killer of most of anything.
Depends on the episode.
Yeah.
It really depends on the episode. Alternative factor where she talked to herself took a long time.
Oh, right.
It was also one of the first ones that we had to edit that. Jason had to edit that right after we shot it to make sure that the illusion worked.
Or else we would have had to reshoot it.
And we would have had to rewrite it and do it again,
yeah.
Basically.
Aaron
of Mercy?
Sitting at it forever took a while. Let's see. I don't know. It depends. Like, some of them are very easy. Like, the Squire of Gothos episode with Trelane, like, that one was easy because it was just like, okay, don't cut away from Hal Rudnick being amazing as Trelane.
Yeah.
Don't cut away from that.
Yeah, right. Just let him do his thing.
Right, right.
Yeah. Whereas, like, other episodes where, like, you have to, like, yeah, like, jump through these realities and do all that stuff like that, like, takes a lot of editing. It, like, takes a lot of, you know, it's, like, timing and stuff like that. But, I mean, a lot of that's very easy because, like, you know, we put ourselves in that vlog style, so just one camera. So that was a conscious decision on our effort. But I don't know. I would say, like, the fastest episode that, like, from start – if I were to do it from start to finish was, like, 4 to 5 hours in terms of editing.
Oh, okay. Well, that's, I guess, reasonable. It's – I mean, still a long time for, you know, actually, you know, putting out the, you know, what is it, a 4-minute episode. Usually yeah. It's, you know, give or take, you know, 4 to 5 minutes. So it's still a lot of work for yeah. that little bit amount of time. Just talking about alternative factor, weird question. Why is there a picture of the J.J. Khan on the wall?
Because we're in the antimatter universe.
Oh, so J.J. Yeah. is the antimatter universe? Is that the hint we're getting there? It's
yep.
that the evil Lazarus or whatever he is.
I love Benedict Cumberbatch. So okay. when there was an opportunity to put someone different in that frame, I was like, it has to be Benedict Khan. But it's funny because I don't know how many people see that really. And like we do have a bit where Original Recipe Williams is like, oh, what's that? And then Antimatter Williams is like, oh, it's nothing. Don't worry about it. But I don't know how many people actually noticed that. So I'm happy that you saw that.
Yeah, me too. Oh, yeah, because in the final episode, I was like, oh, you can't really tell it's him.
I could tell, but I was like, wait, what was she asking when she? So I rewound it. I was like, what is? Yeah, because she goes, who's that? And she's like, don't worry about it.
I watched it on YouTube on PlayStation 4, so I have it on my. You know, it's television, so like
you
I could
see
all
our errors.
I could tell it was the Benedict Cumberbatch Khan like instantly. It wasn't like a hidden thing. I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, when I watch it on TV. I can tell when we shot early in the morning because my hair looks really bad.
It's funny because it's like when you watch the original series on HD and you see all like all the imperfections in the makeup
can,
and everything,
and you can see their stunt doubles like
yes.
so much clearer.
Like,
you can easily tell.
Yeah, that's the thing that when we were like designing the lighting for season one of Red Shirt Diaries, like I did a lot of watching of the original series in HD, and a lot of it like you just see like how insanely bright all those lights are and how they must have been dying of how hot it was on those sets.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that had been insane.
And light bulb technology probably wasn't all that great in the 60s.
Well, also think about, like, I guarantee you back in the 60s there was no AC in those sound stages.
I mean, there's barely AC in the sound stages now.
Yeah, and so and they're throwing these 1,000-watt light bulbs on these people, like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And they're wearing cotton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the
velour.
The one that me and Dave always joke about is actually Aaron of Mercy, where Kirk looks awful. Like, I mean, like Shatner's hair in the beginning of the episode, he looks awful.
Bad.
And then the Klingons' makeup are just terrible. I mean, it's literally
hair
terrible.
Pieces all over the place.
Yeah. Every single time, like it changes.
Yeah.
Like their shades of dark get lighter and lighter and lighter.
Well, it's because the thing about it, which I don't understand, like in that episode, they cast all white dudes to be the Klingons.
Sure.
Yeah.
And they're sweating their makeup away.
Oh, absolutely.
No, but it's like we made a joke that like, you know, Kang was the most important, so it's like they stopped giving makeup to everyone but Kang.
Right. Well, and then his wife, at 1 minute, she's like got layers of makeup, and then the next one, she's got like almost no makeup. You know, and it's like, I'm like, what is going on? It's like, I don't know, on that particular episode, whoever was doing the makeup and doing the hair, That must have been their first day on the job or something, because, I mean, they were not good at whatever they were doing. So I just – it was one of those funny things, especially, like I said, watching in HD. But, yeah, that's great. There's two more episodes you guys are going to release?
Yeah. What's the next one?
Operation Annihilate.
Operation Annihilate, which I always forget what it's called.
Which was originally was going to be our finale.
And then we hit a stretch goal, and so a mock time is our finale.
Nice.
Wow.
I love mock time.
Which is a really difficult episode to do, as it turns out, when you don't have any Vulcans.
Yeah, I mean, you got to, you know, does Ensign Williams have to fight her best friend on Vulcan, or how does that work? I guess we'll have to find
I don't know
out.
How much do you want to say.
No, you don't have to tell. You don't have to.
Let's just say Ensign Williams doesn't make it to Vulcan.
Ah.
And it directly deals with the fallout of Operation Annihilate.
Oh, wow. Mm. Interesting. Okay. And those are the two that you distinctly wrote?
We knew pretty early on what those were going to be. So we were like, yeah, people can try, but this is what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I've rewatched all of season two so far of Retro Diaries at least two or three times since
nice, man.
The last time we recorded. trying to find the breadcrumbs and I'm waiting for Operation Annihilate because the
theme of the season, that's as we said,
the things I see coming up multiple times is, you know, the love for the Silver Fox, the you know, Ashley, I mean, Ensign Williams' dislike for Yeoman Rand, and then
but Yeoman Rand gets shipped off.
Oh yeah, she does. But and then
I would have loved to have put her in more. Cat was so great.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Catfish and Plasma, that comes up a lot too. So those are the three.
I will confirm that it is not Catfish and Plasma.
We were fortunate enough. We did a pilot episode for something with Connor Trenier, and he signed our copy of Catfish and Plasma.
Oh my God!
Yeah, I think I liked that on Facebook. I think I tried to share it, but I didn't think it was going to let me.
Wow, that's crazy.
Because
he loved it. He thought it was funny.
That's awesome.
It was great. But yeah, I definitely liked that on Facebook when I saw it. It was like a couple days like after we recorded with you, I think.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The only thing I could possibly think is this is me just completely shooting off the hip. Is there's two things that I can see that I can pick up any kind of breadcrumbs per se is Ensign Williams' father.
Yeah, that comes up.
That comes up a couple times.
And in alternate universes.
In an alternate universe. And it seems like Ensign Williams doesn't like her father a lot, while her alternate universe likes her father quite a bit. And then the only other thing is, like I said, the picture of Khan and Gary Mitchell, who's in there. So I that's the only two things I can pick up. And that might be nothing. Like, it might be – has nothing to do with – a big reveal later.
My response to you is,
maybe I'm onto something.
Yeah.
One of those things was right.
Wow. Awesome. All right. Well, I was paying a little attention. I just don't know. So, but I can't connect the dots. That's my thing. So.
The answer will be very clear once you see Operation Annihilate.
Awesome.
Yeah. Everything will be revealed next week.
Everything you'll be like, oh, that's what it is. Got it.
And I've been lurking and looking, and I won't get it next episode just because. It's like, what? What? Wait, wait for season three. Maybe I'll get it then.
Right. Yeah. So, and what is what are your plans for the future for Retro Diaries after you wrap up your second season?
Well, the immediate plans are to take a break.
Sure,
because it's been like two and a half years.
Wow,
that's the immediate plans. We've had a lot of talks about this, about like what would be the future of Retro's and what's the best thing to do and stuff like that. And we have not revealed this anywhere else, so this will be the
exclusive.
This is exclusive to you guys.
Yay!
Awesome.
There will not be a video season 3
Aww.
Of Retro Diaries. because we give her a finale.
Okay.
We give the character Ensign Williams a finale, but we are looking into continuing the adventures of Ensign Williams in the form of a book.
Oh, wow. Nice. Oh,
awesome.
And hopefully you will see her adventures throughout the entire, quote, Star Trek universe.
Wow.
Through multiple series and so on. So we're working on something. I have no idea of a date or anything like that, but you'll hear something this year. But oh, okay. But in terms of like the actual web series of Red Shirt Diaries, it's not to say that we will never return to the world, because I actually do have an idea for the motion picture.
We just think a little time is still speaks for itself, so like why tarnish it, you know?
Yeah.
No,
like I'd love to see the motion picture one. That would be great.
Yeah. Special effects heavy.
Yeah. There are a lot of good episodes in the second season of TOS, and we'd love to do them. It just thinks, from where we're looking at it right now, it just seems so much better, stronger to do them like in the form of a book than to keep going with the web series.
Gotcha. Right. Right. Well, I mean, fair enough. And like, you know, it's a lot of effort too as well. So,
yeah, sign me up. Are you going to do an audiobook for it too, possibly?
Ooh, I hadn't thought about an audiobook. There you go.
Hey, we could do that.
Yeah.
We could read it.
As read by...
Just make more work for yourself for editing.
It's something along those lines. It's something along the lines of if you guys have read that new book that came out called Warped, the eighth season of the Star Trek The Next Generation that they just released.
No.
You should go check it out. It's pretty good. There's a book called Warped, and it's like about the secret eighth season of The Next Generation, and it's this comedy book where this guy goes through all the episodes of a mysterious eighth season of TNG, and it's pretty ridiculous and it's pretty absurd.
Really?
And we're thinking about doing something like that for Ensign Williams to take her through the entirety of the original series.
That's awesome.
That would be great. And then if you get to do a video for like the first six movies, that'd be awesome too. Because I mean, I could see, you know, you get Khan to return. It's like no food, no water, no instant death.
And then there's these little worms that crawl in your ear.
And worms, worms. We've got those. We didn't know we were going to have those.
That was a surprise,
Williams.
We eat the worms.
I have worms on this planet, William.
Would you like them in your ear? They make great earrings.
Why are you here? Well, that's interesting. So.
I never forget the face that never looked at me.
Now, did you, when you're thinking of this book, I mean, was that like, are you like, this is sort of like an addendum, or is this like just kind of something you already were planning a long time ago, but you just were like, now you're thinking like, man, to put that through would be, you know, just a huge effort, and you know, to put that together. So a book would be more feasible.
The book would definitely be more feasible as far as like the amount of work for the product that you would get out of it,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
But it is a newer development, as was season two of Red Shirts. It wasn't planned originally, and then we decided one day that we were going to do an Indiegogo and make a second season.
And it worked.
But we've also, because things like Warped have come out, like there's a lot of really interesting things that you can do in print, and like we would be able to, people give us a lot of guff about like our landing party missions and not doing more of them and not filming inside of shuttles and stuff like that. And I'm like, bro,
oh,
I don't have to film inside of a shuttle.
We
could do that in a book.
We had a three paragraph comment on a certain site that was talking about, that was getting after us, because why didn't we build a shuttle set for the Galileo 7 episode? And I was like, why would we spend all that time and money for one single episode?
Right, right. And you know, it's obvious that you guys are doing this, and it's not supposed to be, you know, in a huge production sense. You know, it's like, you know, supposed to be set up in a little, like in her quarters.
Yeah. It's sketch comedy.
We have the money to do that, so we should have.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that was one of our stretch goals, right?
Yeah, build Galileo.
The book allows you to like to just to do like, we can give you the same product basically, and it can be like more condensed. You can enjoy it on your own speed, and it like becomes a lot easier for us too.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah, it's interesting that anybody would even make a big thing about that. you know, that's so ridiculous. But people are so weird, you know.
People are. For the most part, like, we get a lot of, like, really positive feedback on everything. But the thing that, like, things that people fixate on, you're like, that's the thing? Because we're always worried. Like, whatever we're worried about is something that never gets mentioned.
Right.
You know? But,
yeah, we're like, Archon's a white guy. You don't want to mention that? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like,
yeah, like no one cares in the slightest that he's like a pale Irish dude.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
But they care about the kind of sword that Sulu's carrying. Oh,
come on. Just give me a break.
It's parody. It's probably funnier that it's not the right sword.
Right. Right.
He was that messed up, guys.
Yeah. Maybe he's got more than one sword. He doesn't just have to have a foil.
No, absolutely not.
So, I mean, but I guess that's how it goes. I mean, some people just make in, you know, they find little things and they just, I don't know, they obsess about them.
Like the guy you mentioned the first time y'all were on who wanted to rewrite your first season, give it an overarching narrative. I'm like, the original series doesn't even have a narrative.
Yeah.
That guy.
Well, that's cool. But I mean, you know, weirdos aside, I think you guys have put up a really fantastic product. I mean, it's fun, it's lighthearted, and it's just, you know, it's everything, you know, just to, you know, you'd want from like that little condensed, like, you know, that 5 minute, you know, video to see something, you know, based on the episode. And it actually makes me think about the episodes too. Sometimes I actually, you know, I've watched them and be like, oh, I want to go back and rewatch that now because making me think about Trelane. No.
Yay! Well, that's the best. That's the best thing you could say.
That is the best compliment. Like, if our episode makes you actually want to go rewatch the episode that our episode's based on, that's the best compliment we could ever receive.
That's cool. Well, it does. It is absolutely true. And I think you guys are doing a great job, you know, no matter, you know, what some strange people think.
What a strange person.
What a strange person. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was, you know, I was actually going to bring up something about, like, how asking if you're going to do, you know, future crowdfunding or anything with a, you know, a third season, and now you said you're going to do the book idea instead. And part of my reason to bringing that up was, like, with all the recent stuff going on about Axanar, like, I don't know if was that a factor at all, or were you worried about doing anything more in the film verse of Star Trek at all?
We made that decision, like, way before the Axanar stuff happened.
All right. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, as far as, like, we're concerned and what we do, I'm not – that doesn't make me nervous about anything.
No.
I mean, not to – I'm not trying to sound arrogant, but, like, we're doing parody and satire with direct commentary.
Right.
Yeah.
So – you know, we have the fair use on our side, I guess.
Yeah, it's just
we're also such small fries.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. Axanar is like the big granddaddy as far as like that goes, but it's just like the terminology of the lawsuit, like, you know, using Star Trek names and characters and places, and so like that's like the vaguest thing ever that could apply to any fan film at all for all time. Mm-hmm. So that's just like the thing that kind of worries and bothers me about.
You know, the thing I would say is that, and this is to anybody that is currently producing a Star Trek fan series or is thinking about doing it in the 50th anniversary, like, hey, go for it, do it, make your thing, because that's awesome, and new creations are always a good thing. But Paramount announced that they were going to introduce a new Star Trek series on a streaming service that you can access over the internet. So, if you're going to release your fan film anyway through the internet, that is definitely a concern. And I would definitely be thinking about, let's make sure we're not direct competition for Paramount.
It's a good point. Very good point. You know, that they would, you know, might see it as the next thing. And obviously, Axanar.
Yeah, with over $1 million on it, that might get axed.
I do wonder, like, you know, things like Star Trek Continues and stuff like that. What's you know, if they are going to have any issues for that kind of, you know, those legal issues? Because I mean
I think everyone is concerned.
Yeah.
You know, everyone who's ever done that would be concerned, but it's also one of those things that it's like, well, how much do you want to freak out about something that hasn't happened to you yet?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, true. Good point.
Yeah, it's just I think it all is going to depend on how the Axanar thing ends up, and then whether future litigation will happen. Which I really hope it doesn't, because I, you know, it's just I mean, it's their property, I understand, but, like, you know, I really would, you know, I mean, I think fan stuff is should be encouraged. I mean, it sells, like, it's free advertising almost.
Right. And there's been, I mean, honestly, since the original series ended, there's been fan-created fiction and all sorts of things for years and years. So, I mean, that's really what's driven Star Trek for so long. Even when we've had these deserts when there's nothing going on, it's been the fan stuff that's really, you know, kept people motivated and in love with the genre. I mean, and, you know, that goes along with what you guys are doing, too. I mean, it's like without stuff like that, I mean, people are like, oh, they just forget about it, you know? So that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, cool and bad in some ways, too, because I would wish there'd be more Star Trek on TV.
Yeah.
Soon. So soon.
A year from this month. From this very month.
It seems like a long time.
It is.
Well,
in production time, it's not that long, though.
Yeah, in production time, it's actually, like, normal.
Yeah, is so, that...
But I'll tell you what, guys. Like, I mean, even though it's on this streaming service, like, I'm such a Star Trek fiend that, like, they've already got my $5 a month. Like, yes. I'm going to watch that show.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to, you know, my wife's going to be like, what are you doing for that, just $5 for that
it's
one show?
It's the only thing you watch on that. What are you doing?
I know. I'm going to get it for that. I know. She'll come after me.
Well, it might not be the only thing, because I read an article today, like, on my break, actually.
The good wife?
No, that not that one. The other one. I heard that CW was planning on maybe pulling, you know, its shows, because it's CW's a, you know, subsidiary of CBS, mm-hmm. pulling their shows from Netflix. And so someone was speculating maybe they'll pull Star Trek from Netflix too, to put, you know, to make people subscribe to it early, maybe. So that,
you know,
they already got
your
Star Trek people.
From a business standpoint, that's not a bad idea.
That is a good idea.
So you're switching people to your streaming service before the new one comes out, because if they want to watch all the old Star Trek, I mean, if that's the only place it is, I mean, I'm going to have to get that early.
To be honest with you, too, like, that's an interesting thing, too, is will Star Trek stay on Netflix, or will Star Trek, like, Next Generation, DS9, Enterprise, will that move to this service, too?
I'm sure it'll be on there. If it's not already, but I mean, like, I'm just wondering if it'll leave Netflix soon.
That's a good point.
I mean, if I was CBS, and if I was the top dog at CBS and I'm doing this service, I pull Star Trek from Netflix and put it on that service, and that's the only place you can get it.
It's very shrewd if they do it, and I bet you that's the way it goes.
I don't like it either, because I like it being on Netflix, but, like, again, from a business standpoint, like, you can kind of understand where they're like, this is your one-stop shop for Star Trek.
Right.
Yeah. I can definitely see that happening probably during Star Trek Las Vegas, maybe.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
It's like, 50th anniversary. Here. Come to us to see your Star Trek.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You'll know you want it. It's the red apple.
Oh, they'll come. Yeah, they'll do it.
If you put it on a streaming service, they will buy.
Oh, yeah. Then everyone will be over, and they'll have, I don't know.
And then you'll have all the Star Trek fans even before the series comes out.
I don't know what the number of Star Trek fans, like, what's the, like, hardcore fans like us who will watch, you know, and will buy buy into that. I wonder what the numbers of that would
be. I'm very curious
be.
About that number, too.
I mean, are we talking, like, in the millions? Are we talking more than that or less
I don't know.
Than that? You know, I mean...
Well, Bill Smith, who I know Ashley's spoken with before on his Trek Geeks podcast,
yes.
I speak to him a lot. He and I are good friends. And he was, you know, pointing out that, like, you know, like, I think – I don't remember the numbers exactly, but, like, 12 million people have seen the Star Trek Beyond trailer. I don't know if that's all Star Trek fans or some people who are just interested anyway. And then only, like, 1.1 or 1.2 million people have seen the prelude to XNR. So that just shows you, like, the official versus not, as far as, like, for numbers.
Yeah.
I mean,
and how many?
There's plenty of people who watch just the Star Trek movies who don't, just the JJ movies, who've never seen anything else and don't want anything else. So.
Well, and then I think it's their point of entry, too, is, like, you know, if you're a young kid who's, you know, like, you know, 17 years old, 18 years old, and you know you've only seen the JJ movies, you're not going back to TOS. I mean,
well, you know actually, here's the funny thing about that. My brother, he's turning 15, and his first Star Trek movie was the J.J. Abrams Star Trek movie.
Okay.
And the funny thing about it, that what the J.J. movie did for him is it actually did make him go back to TOS.
Huh.
And I'm trying to figure out how old – I'm terrible at math. I'm sorry. Because it's 2016 now. Hold on a second.
2009 was the first
one. So he was 9 years old when he saw that movie. He loved it. He wanted to watch more TOS. He wants nothing to do with the Next Generation, anything beyond.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
because
that's...
there's something. You know what I think it was? Is because if you go back and look at the original series is a completely different animal any of the spinoffs, because they did that thing back in the 60s. And Mark Cushing talks about this a lot in his These Are the Voyages books, where they break down the making of each episode. And if you haven't read that book, by the way, fascinating read. It was a network mandate that you had to have a fist fight or a gun fight in every episode.
Oh, wow.
Network mandate. So that's the reason why Kirk hauls off and punches somebody every episode with a giant phaser fight.
Oh, that's great.
And when you come to TNG, that's no longer the case.
They're all talky-talky.
There's some episodes where they just sit and talk around the table the entire time. And I love me some TNG.
Yeah, right.
But
yeah.
For that timeless, eternal kind of like kid-like thing, the kid is always going to go to the punch you in the face thing.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I mean, I grew up on the original series, and then when I was probably like middle schoolish, they came out with Next Generation. So that's, you know, a big. Yeah, I mean, I loved just, you know, them beating the snot out of each other.
Yeah.
You know, that was great, and you know, seeing Kirk fight was just so much fun. So I don't know. That's really interesting. So so they like the action, has your brother actually ever seen any of the episodes of Next Generation, or will he refuse to watch any of it?
He's seen like an episode here and there, right, but he doesn't dig them. I'm gonna try to. I want to show him some like TNG movies and see if he can get into those.
Yeah.
Start with Nemesis.
Start with
First Contact.
Yeah.
Right.
Nemesis might drive him away.
Yeah, Nemesis
so great,
isn't though. So great on the TNG scale.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's interesting.
Also, Kill Data, my favorite character.
That's a really interesting point that you just that you brought up there.
It just goes to show you that, like, from a different perspective, like, whatever you see first or however you connect to it first, like, definitely skews how you see the rest of it.
Yeah.
But if he likes fist fights, Kirk is in Generations.
Yeah, let's steer away from Generations.
But he also might be like, why did Kirk get fat?
What happened, man?
He got old.
What happened?
He became old.
And
started chopping wood when he realized.
Yeah. Younger people, they like the action, and the Next Generation is more talky, and maybe it's like something like... Enterprise might be more fun for him too. I always think that, honestly, my thing is I'm always hesitant to show younger people original series because I'm always afraid that they're going to be like
turned off by them.
Yeah, they're going to be like, oh, what is this? That's the sets. I think
because I got to review all these episodes when we were making Red Shirts. If you watch the new HD Blu-ray versions, like where they've kind of rejiggered some of the special effects and done stuff like that,
right?
Yeah.
It kind of has the same effect like Batman 66. Like they just released Batman 66 on Blu-ray where they redid the film negatives, and holy God, it looks amazing. Like I would have never thought that show would look great, but when you go off the original film negatives and you bring it to HD, like that show looks magnificent. And like Star Trek's kind of the same thing, and I think if you give them the right episode, like if you give them like City on the Edge of Forever or the Corbinite Maneuver, if you give them Cat's Paw, yeah, they're going to run away quick.
Right. Yeah.
Or Charlie X.
But if you give them like one of the good ones, I think a good story can push through anything. That's the whole reason why Doctor Who has lasted for 63 years, because Doctor Who didn't have good special effects until like 5 years ago.
Yeah, really.
The ones with Tom Baker, that's one I started off with. And that, I mean, those were so goofy, but I used to love watching it as a kid. But that was a different time period too. So, I mean, it wasn't like we didn't get the super good special effects except in maybe movies.
Yeah.
But that's interesting. It's a good way of looking at it. And I I am surprised that somebody wouldn't be into Next Generation because there's not enough
fist fights
and stuff like that. But it makes a lot of sense now that you think about it. Yeah. I always joked that Next Generation was like having an office out in space because they always just seem to be like walking to conference room to conference room.
The office in space.
Well, yeah. I think about it like too. Like if you, I love TNG, but if you think about most of the TNG episodes, and even if you were thinking about like how Picard's crew would deal with something to Kirk's crew would deal with it. Like, so they encounter some weird alien they've never seen before. Picard's like, scan it to death, Data. Let's go in the conference room. What do we think this is? Oh, let's try talking to it. Oh, it doesn't – it didn't talk to us. It starts lightning them, and then eventually Data can like, types on the computer really fast, makes a mathematical equation that it can understand, and then the episode's over.
Right. Right.
Kirk is like, what do we think this is? I don't know. Let's back up. Right. It fires on the ship, and then Kirk's like, launch every photon torpedo at it.
Make it dead.
Kill that
thing. Just get rid of it.
I know. It's it is. There's two different ways of tackling it. And, you know, I also assume that there was two different versions of, society at the time. In 1960s, culture, and then, 1980s, 1990s culture. So, a lot changed during that time period.
How the culture and everything diversed between the two time periods and
strange.
Different. Yeah,
it is strange to see. Think about that as a different. So now that you're going to wrap up these shows, when are these two going to be released? Do you have release dates?
The next one is on Monday. That is Operation Annihilate on the 18th. And then the finale is January 25th on Monday.
Oh, wow. Great.
And I was just putting the finishing touches on the finale today.
Awesome. I can't wait to see this reveal. This is going to be great. Now I'm really curious.
You'll have to tweet us because I'm super interested in what everyone is going to think about.
It's actually – watch the stinger. Yeah, yeah. I would say with these next two episodes – just because you think the episode is over doesn't mean it's over. Mm-hmm. I would let it play
until
the video stops.
The hidden track.
I'll
definitely do that.
On both episodes.
And they'll definitely.
There's something about Ensign Williams that people have been asking us since the very beginning, and you're going to learn it.
Just
her name?
You're going to learn my name in the next episode.
I know. I kept on like, what's her name? She's going to say Ensign Williams.
Her name is Williams.
Williams. That's why she doesn't like her father. Boy named Sue.
The grief we went through trying to pick that name. It's like ridiculous.
And then we'll see the name all over the book since the name is now
a topic of many discussions.
Wow. Yeah. You guys, it's like naming a baby. You're just like, should we call it? No, that's a stupid name. I hate that name. Going back and forth. Yeah.
What's the most popular names? Let's throw all these out.
Yeah, well, you name a baby, I've been through it.
Yeah.
You go through a lot of it and you're like, that's a stupid name. And you find out where people really feel about things when you name your child.
For sure.
What's your, besides the book, what are you guys, obviously you guys do the podcast. What are other adventures you guys going to be working towards? Or can you not reveal any of that?
We're working on a graphic novel right now.
Oh, awesome.
That is out to a couple of companies. We are not certain which – we're figuring out which company's we're going to give it to. So there's that.
What's the basis? What's the brief rundown of the graphic novel?
I would say all I can tell you is that it's about a girl adventurer in the 1930s.
Okay, cool.
So there's that. I start back up with DC All Access next week with hosting the DC Comics YouTube show. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Wow, cool.
Awesome. And then, actually, I don't know. What else were you doing? Oh, we're going to be launching another podcast.
Oh, great.
Yeah, that's a thing.
In addition to Geek History Lesson?
In addition to Geek History Lesson,
this one with more video.
This
100% more video.
Yeah, 100% more video on this one.
Video.
Now, do you think video is the way podcast is going? What made you dictate that decision?
I thought about – the reason I went with that for this new one is because for the simple fact of you know, if we're recording the audio anyway, like, why not just record the video? But this one's going to be more of an actual show, and then we're just going to take the audio from that and make it a podcast because, I don't know, I just felt that if you're making this one product, why not send it to two different platforms?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Yeah.
More exposure.
That's a good point. Because you know, to me, what I like about podcasts, you know, any podcast I download is I like that I can just, you know, like especially when I'm doing stuff around my house, you know, I can just pop in my earbuds and I can just, you know, do my thing and, you know, be entertained by something I'm actually interested in hearing compared to if I was just listening to radio and it'd be like, oh, you know, I got to listen to this. I'm not really into this, but I guess this is what they're talking about today.
On, so,
you know, yeah. I mean. Yeah, it's the one thing I like about it. I mean, I guess, but I think, I mean, I'm sure there's tons of people who are, you know, watch more video on their, you know, computers and stuff like that when they're, you know, whatever yeah. they're doing for their entertainment.
Well, we're also losing, with Red Shirts ending, it's like, that's a whole bunch of video content that yeah. doesn't exist.
That's a good point, anymore. Yeah. And, you know, more time, you know, I mean, it's freeing more time up from your schedules as well, so you don't have to worry about all the production you guys put into that, so...
How much production goes into that?
What, the podcast?
Yeah.
Or they were talking about Red Shirts.
Yeah, how much goes into Geek History Lesson, though?
Quite a bit. You'd be surprised.
I would be.
I know David's had a couple episodes where we won't name the episodes, but there's been some that he spent
many long hours
because the audio quality was not good.
So.
But I've got a new program that fixes a lot of that stuff now, so hopefully I won't have to ever do a 10-hour session again.
So, whoa. it was a bad episode, but we won't get into
it. It was a great episode. It was just...
Well, the audio-wise, it was a bad episode. That's why he saved it, so it was because it was good. But
y'all do Geek History Lesson, and y'all did a fantastic episode like a couple weeks before y'all were on for... talking with us about Red Shirts the first time, where you guys listed out your crews from all the different series. What were
and
the
all
rules
the different realities.
All the different realities.
Yeah, so we did, like, that was the episode of our podcast that we did this very week that Red Shirt Diaries Season 2 premiered. And we had to do these fun little lists every once in a while. And so we had these caveats. And it was kind of like, and I have the list in front of me, actually. Let me find it as I talk to you. And we totally, you know, stuff like who was the best captain, who was the best engineer, stuff like that.
First officer,
and we kind of played through. And of course, we went through it backwards so that we ended with the captain last.
Okay, yeah. right.
So we'd be more than willing to play it with you right now. If you wish.
Let's spin the wheel.
And then since you guys have already made yours, you should go check out that episode. What episode is that for your show, guys? So I'll link that episode in the show notes. Whatever episode it is, I'll link that episode in the show notes.
Episode 81.
Episode 81 of Geek History Lesson. Best Star Trek crew ever.
Yeah, we will link that in the show notes. So you guys can do side-by-side of the crews that we have picked. The categories were that you guys decided were medical officer, wild card, security officer, science engineer first, and then captain, and then maybe the ship.
Yes, so. Yeah, and the ship was just kind of a bonus, you know, like, but yeah, we always wanted it in the captain. And the idea of the wild card is that the wild card is a supporting Star Trek character that is not a crew member. So, like, think about like Garrick, think about Shran from Enterprise, think like. Mourn. Like that. Yeah. So they couldn't be a regular crew member. You know, it'd have to be like one of the weirdos. Like, I mean, neither, as I affectionately call them, neither one of us said Q, which is quite funny because Q would totally work.
Yeah.
But right. You wouldn't need the rest of the Q.
He's
crew.
A giant dick, so.
But we did make the thing, too, that whoever your wild card is, you had to explain why they're there or what are they doing there or why would they decide to, like, join in with this crew. Because some of the characters like Q, like, yeah, why would he join? He never would.
Good point.
So,
yeah, that's a good point. Well, Dave, why don't you do yours since this is – I know this is something you've been excited about doing.
Yeah, so with medical, I was going to go EMH doctor because there's nobody better.
Julian Bashir.
we did have an episode where we debated doctors.
Yes. Yes. And so I'm sticking with that my best doctor from that episode. Mm-hmm. He's got all these doctors built into him, and he's Robert Picardo. You can't go wrong with that.
He was my pick as well.
Who's your doctor?
Who am I? Mine? I know it's unpopular, but I am still going to go with Crusher.
Crusher?
I think she's very good at being doctor. I know a lot of people don't like her as a character, but I still think she's probably one of the best doctors other than – I think the holographic doctor is probably the best, but I'm picking someone who's actually corporeal.
Corporeal. You're racist against holograms.
Yeah. Yeah, I am racist against
holograms. You're not a misogynist, so well done.
There, so. one point.
Thanks
one
for accusing me of that, guys.
One you're point, one demerit.
All right, so my wild card, I was going to pick two. Since you guys said that we cannot pick actual crew members, I took one of mine off. And I'm going to replace him. I originally wrote down Garrick and Barkley because Barkley's an officer, but you never see him. And he is kind of like
I would count him as a wild card.
You count Barkley. Okay, I'll keep
Barkley as a wild card.
I'll keep Barkley as my wild card along with Garrick because I'd love to see Garrick and Barkley like meet each other. That would be because Garrick is so like. Is going to mess with your mind, and Barkley's so jittery. It's like, oh, what? No.
Yeah.
Garrick would walk all over him. It would be amazing.
It would, but Barkley's also really smart, and he'd probably put him in his holodeck fantasy somewhere.
Like, yeah.
Barkley's a good choice to have, like, as support as whoever your choice for engineer is. It's a good call.
As, like, a supporting, as like a helper monkey?
As a good helper monkey, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mine would be the Traveler. Just
interesting.
Yeah, I want to put the Traveler in there. I don't know what function he would actually provide on the ship, but damn, it would be interesting.
He'd take you to see Grandmama.
Oh, no. Whose crew is more zen?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's also if you got the Traveler in your crew, you also have to worry about him just leaving.
Well, I would expect that he'd pop in and pop out. He'd be like the Doctor Who of the crew.
Oh, okay.
He'd be just like show up, and then some episodes he'd just be gone. Nobody would know what happened to him.
That's an awesome wild card. That's really
and
good.
He's got a really cool scarf.
Yeah, let's give him a scarf. He's got those weird fingers. Yeah.
And then there was the rookie ensign. I'm going to pick Ensign Gomez because she's good at spilling coffee on the captain.
That was hot chocolate.
Or hot chocolate on the captain. Yeah. And I'm sure.
Tell me out. Who's Ensign Gomez?
She was in the Q Who episode. She was in engineering
was
with Jordy. No. She spills coffee on hot chocolate. I'm sorry, hot chocolate on Picard, and she's only in like two episodes. But she's like a rookie ensign. They put a whole lot of time on her for like two episodes. And I guess it's season two or three, where Q Who is, and and then he spills the coffee. I keep saying coffee. It's hot chocolate.
Deep cut, man. Well done.
Right.
It's stuck in there. I'm thinking she's Janeway for some reason, but no.
Ensign Gomez will get her due.
Ensign Gomez, yes. So Ensign Gomez spills it on him, and then Q wipes it away when after Q abducts Picard. So she's a rookie ensign because I really don't like Wesley. I don't like Ensign Kim. Chekhov, I mean, he just gets hurt. I mean, Ensign Gomez is alive. She just spills coffee on captains, and I'm pretty sure my captain would enjoy it.
Yeah. I think we got an idea who that captain is all of a sudden. I think what I'm going to do here is I know she died. Can I pick someone who died?
I don't know. Is that cool, guys?
Yeah. It's whatever you want to make of it, man.
So it's the young ensign from the Lower Decks, the Bajoran girl who gets killed.
Yeah.
Ooh, interesting.
Jax, I think is her name. Sito Jax.
I mean, she is the MVP for sure.
I mean, it wasn't her fault she got killed.
No.
I mean, they put her on an impossible mission, and it just didn't work out for her. But, I mean, I loved her, and I really felt bad after she died.
That's like that episode's get you in the feels for sure.
Yeah, I was like, oh, man. I kind of wanted to see what else she could have done, you know?
Plus, Bajorans are totally rad.
Yeah. And she wasn't the one that...
Yeah, you had two on your crew, Ashley.
Yeah.
I sure did. My crew was all Bajorans and Vulcans.
Ashley's crew was mostly Deep Space Nine.
Yeah. It was mostly people that I think are attractive, if we're going to be honest.
Well, that works too.
All right.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's what I picked.
So my security officer, it's gonna be where, like I said earlier, I kind of like bent the rules a little bit. I'm making my security officer 7 of 9.
Wow.
Interesting.
Because she steals a shuttlecraft and instantly gives it Borg shields. I mean, like, who better for ship security and keeping you safe than someone who can just like, oh, they're getting through our regular shields. Here, Borg shields now. We're good.
Yeah, for real.
Here, Borg torpedoes. Yeah, we're good. It's not going to – I mean, like, they totally underutilize 7 of 9. Like, oh, well, let's put her in the map room. She could, like, pimp out your ship, man.
I know. Yeah. I think they were prejudiced. She was just too – her skills were too wild.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I mean, it would have made the rest of the series way too easy if they let her do this stuff, I guess. But I'm just like, oh, why not? She's a Borg. I mean, use that to your advantage.
Right.
Instead of building maps.
And then...
I mean, you blow the ship up in, like, every episode, and then it's fine. So why not Borg?
Exactly, right? It would make sense, her using Borg technology to fight the Borg as many times as they end up fighting the Borg.
Yeah.
I mean, right. She'd be an awesome security officer, even though she was never technically one.
Okay, so I pick somebody who it might not work with the rules. I'm not sure. I pick Garak as my security.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah.
That is a very interesting idea.
He just seems so sly on everything, and I don't think if you were put him in that position, I don't think anything would be. No stone would be unturned what he would be finding out.
Yeah, if there's any other spy on your ship, he'll find out.
Yeah.
Are you okay with him torturing the lower deck?
You can also never go to M'Pok Nor because he'll go crazy.
Yeah. Never go to M'Pok Nor.
You have one place in the entire galaxy that you can't go. Good luck with your.
Don't send the ship there. All right?
Don't go there. Or just don't let him join that away mission. What was that, Ashley?
I was like, they wound up there once. It could happen again.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh my god, that's so funny. I didn't put that in my equation, but I hey, whatever.
So for science, I picked T'Pol.
Yeah, T'Pol.
Good choice.
I think she's a pretty good science officer, and I can't think. I mean, like, pretty much it's only like Spock or T'Pol, really. I mean, like, your main science officers.
I'm picking
Data. I mean, I guess you got Jadzia, but I mean, like, I feel like Jadzia really never did anything.
Yeah, I always felt like she was, like, a science, like, yeah, it's like a, she just, once in a while, you saw her in her lab.
Like, yeah, I feel like she was kind of underused in the science department.
The science
department.
Klingon, I always thought.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She's like, science with a Batleth.
Yes. She was always, like, she was almost the moral security officer as much as she wanted to fight things with a sword.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. I picked Data. I just think
that was my choice, Data.
Yeah. It just seems the most logical.
Yes.
He says not picking a Vulcan.
Yes. Why?
I picked a Vulcan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. More logical than your choice, sir.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Data's kind of hard to beat. So, first officer. Engineer. Engineer is important. I picked Chief O'Brien.
All right.
As the
one engineer. For the Irish.
One for the
that
Irish.
Was my choice as well.
I did. Your choice was excellent.
O'Brien, man, he could just like you feel like with Miles O'Brien that he could take like a push lawnmower and somehow make it go to warp speed.
He could
like, give him.
It would take him a long time. No, he's not fast.
No, it takes him about 6 hours. That's his average. If you watch
five of Keiko's on him.
Yeah, five of Keiko's on him.
Oh my god.
He'll really move ass.
She's the worst.
She is the worst wife in Star Trek history.
Why did she become such a hated character over time? Like when she was on Next Generation, nobody seemed to mind her that much. But then all of a sudden, Deep Space Nine, she became this like
she was a pain in his side, so he was a pain in our side.
My theory for that is that the writers started doing this thing, and they started doing it in season 2 with O'Brien, that because they felt that O'Brien was the the audience empathy character.
Okay.
What they would do every season, and they talk about this in the DVD commentaries and the companion stuff like that, that they every season they had to have an O'Brien must suffer episode. So they would take O'Brien and they would just torture him to death.
Put him on Cardassia.
Yeah. I mean, remember, yeah, he went to trial on Cardassia. There was that episode where he spent like an eternity in that virtual prison and wanted to kill himself.
Yeah. Oh,
there
yeah.
was the there was the episode where he was like undercover on the weird gangster planet and like he had to like kill, he had to take care of that guy's cat.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
like
there's
all these episodes, that cat was probably right? awful to him too.
So the writers are torturing O'Brien, and we feel for the guy, so we don't need to see Keiko give this guy any guff, all right?
Yeah,
like,
so...
Because then we just see two groups torturing O'Brien, and we're like, shut up!
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. And
I think O'Brien would be nice to Scotty, unlike Geordi. I really, like, I loved Geordi until Relics, and then, like, I really... Didn't
you
like him after.
O'Brien, LaForge is kind of a dick to Scotty.
He is totally. And I my Geordi love fell off after Relics. I'm like, I can't like Geordi anymore after.
Come on, reading Rainbow People. Jeez. I mean that covers a lot of problems there. You know, reading Rainbow.
So who is your? Engineer.
I had to go with the miracle worker, Scotty.
Scotty?
I'm sorry.
It was hard between O'Brien and
they
Scotty.
They are almost like O'Brien seems like the younger version of Scotty in the, you know, in the future, like, you know. He just he's so they're one and the same in a lot of ways, you know.
Sort of, yeah.
And personality-wise, how they're so into their job, they're just like.
And they both like drinking a lot.
Oh yeah.
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 I found engineer was like the toughest decision I had because they're all really good choices.
Yeah, yeah.
Like in some categories, for me, there was an obvious choice. But for this one, you were like, well, whoever I'm picking, I'm leaving out like, you know, three or four other excellent choices.
Yeah. See, I thought, yeah, when we did our episode, we found that engineers and the medical officers we felt were the two toughest choices.
Yeah.
Because like, I mean, they're almost all of them on every show are solid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to be. You know,
and I love Phlox. You know, I mean,
I love Phlox.
He's great.
He would have probably been like, you know, my choice if there was no EMH. I love Phlox, but for me, like, I had all of them on my list like, immediately, except for first officer and captain. Like, those were like my hardest ones, and I was trying to follow your rules and trying to have at least one person from every series. And I'm like, well, how are they going to work together? So, like, it was really hard for me to pick my first officer and captain. Those were my hardest two choices. Everything else was, like, I didn't even have to think about, really. But these
who is your first officer? Because these are the two difficult ones, yeah, because you have to think about how does this first officer work with your captain?
Yeah. So my first officer is Riker.
Interesting. The eternal first officer.
The yeah, eternal first officer. I will turn down 10,000 commands to stay on the ship. as many as it takes. No, but
you know, I always think that with that joke, like the Enterprise D must have been like the amazing cruise ship with the fleet or something like that. Because why did he? Yeah, he turned down command like six times.
It must have been like a Risa Minor.
Yeah,
Risa Minor. Oh my god, that's so funny.
But yeah, he's an inspirational character. I think he'd work well with all the you know subordinates, except for I could see him and Garak kind of button heads, but Garak would butt heads with anybody. He's worked with Barclay before. You know, I can
but
see.
I would say this.
Yes,
Garak might be able to flirt with Riker.
He might. He might, and
which
Riker,
which I think would make for some very interesting television.
Riker and Riker might flirt back.
Right,
yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, he might. Yeah,
and you know, like I think Seven of Nine's abrupt, but I mean, she understands the chain of command, and as soon as she stops running away to the Borg, she's pretty good at like you know, almost being too literal with following commands. I think. You know, she and Riker would get along, and Riker would maybe Riker would not say no when she propositions, unlike Harry Kim.
Good point.
Your first officer.
I really wanted to pick Spock, but I didn't want to pick all these people from the original series, so I picked the next best I thought was T'Pol.
Hmm. Yay, T'Pol!
I thought she was a very good... I don't... Was she technically first officer?
Yes.
Yeah, she was technically first officer.
Yeah,
I couldn't remember if she was
and
science
I guess,
or vice.
I guess she was both, but yeah.
Well, yeah,
I guess so Trip was third.
And that's where in this game, like, yeah, she was both, and she could work in either role.
Because I made her my first officer.
Yeah, and you made Spock your science officer.
Spock was my science officer, because Spock technically does both of those things as well, which is, yes. I think, an interesting nod that Enterprise did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, yeah. I think she's, you know, I mean, you think of an Enterprise. You know, Archer, I like Archer for a lot of reasons, but he's, you know, kind of seems like too enthusiastic, where I think she grounds him. Yeah. You know, she's like, he's like, oh, let's go make friends. And she's like, I don't think that'd be a wise idea, you know, that kind of thing. So, I don't know. Yeah, so there you go.
All right.
All right. Moment of truth. Captain.
The captain.
Mine is so unoriginal, so that's not even.
Mine is Kirk. So I needed someone from the original series. So this is what made the captain choice hard. I had someone from all the other series, and I needed.
Who would you have picked if you didn't pick Kirk?
Maybe Sisko.
Okay.
But
Sisko.
But I didn't want to put Picard back with Riker again, because that's just, you know, everyone knows what that is. I wanted to see something different. So I think Kirk with Riker, and I think Kirk would get along.
They're
really
basically the same character almost.
They are, and I think they would really get along well. I think they would trade little black books. I mean, when Riker sent Picard to Ryza, he's like, make sure to get a Horgon, make sure to get if Kirk ever went to Ryza, and he said, go get a Horgon. He's like, I've got two. And like, I think they'd bro it out really well together. They might fight over some of the girls, but I mean, I think they would bro it out pretty good.
They would have that scene from Lord of the Rings where Gimli and Legolas are counting how many people they've killed.
Exactly.
But with how many sexual conquests they've had.
Exactly. That still only counts as one.
I don't know. I kind of think
it would be a recreation of the Star Trek The Motion Picture and how Kirk acted to Decker.
Oh, yeah.
And kind of pushed him away. Because Decker is the proto-Riker.
Yes.
If you read it behind that series, yeah. Like that. I think and if you notice, Kirk, like, always, like, didn't want to listen to Decker, but Decker was like, look, man, I got your back. And then it wasn't until, like, the end of the movie that Kirk finally accepted Decker. But, like, for the first hour and a half of that movie, Kirk's like, get out of my way, Decker, and shut up.
Yeah.
I think until they realized that they could have a really good bromance, I really think they would butt heads like that. But I think, you know, by like second season of the show, it would come together really well. And my ship is the Prometheus, because I think Kirk is a great tactician, and because that ship can split into three, I think that would be an awesome Kirk ship, having the Prometheus and being on like very tactical missions like that are like, you're going in alone, you've got all these odds against you, make it work.
Man, you thought real hard about this.
I think the entire crew would work well for it. You've got Garak as the wild card. Whenever you know when O'Brien needs help with some engineering stuff, Barclay is like, oh, I've got this crazy idea. I'll just go to this holodeck too, and I'll just wire myself in, and we'll like make this work.
Right. So I wanted to pick Kirk, but I can't really.
You still can.
Nah, I've picked so much from TOS already, so I think I need to change that a little bit. So I'm picking Sisko.
Yay!
Sisko's a good
Yeah, no, I think he would make a very good captain, especially with my deranged crew I picked. So I think he would be kind of – he can do the in-between, like, you know, he's sort of like the Picard, but he's a little more – punch you in the face, Picard.
Yeah, so. he punch you in the face.
Yeah. So,
I don't know what T'Pol would think about Sisko, and I don't know what Sisko would think about.
That's what you said to me, too.
Because, like.
But you know what? Kira hated Sisko in the beginning, too.
But I'm just saying, like, if you think about it, there is an episode of DS9 where you learn about that old Vulcan Academy mate that he had, the guy, the baseball episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, Sisko wasn't a big fan of that guy.
Yeah, but T'Pol's sexy.
That's true.
Yes, she's got that going for it.
Honestly, I mean, I'm kind of torn on ships. I love Enterprise A. That's one of my favorites.
Ooh, but that's a good choice.
But I don't know. Maybe for this crew with Sisko, maybe I just pick the Defiant, because I think they'd be like cool. They could kind of like they could cloak and just like zip around and, you know, find weird adventures and stuff like that. So.
Anyway. I love the Defiant.
Yeah, it might be
the Defiant as well.
Might be a fun little ship to have some adventures on.
Too bad the second Defiant wasn't the Defiant A.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But I my favorite ship of all time is Enterprise A. So
it's a good one. The movie design of the Enterprise is, for me, like, I don't know, there's something about it that I like more, I think, than the original design. I don't know what it is, but that's just one of my things. I don't know.
Well, and I think, you know, like, obviously, when Motion Picture came out, they was just like, they're like, look at this ship, and we're going to spend 15 minutes showing you different angles of the
25
ship.
25
I love that scene.
but for real, he loves it.
it's so interesting, though. I remember, and I think we had this conversation with Larry Nemechek at Star Trek Las Vegas, or either on our set. And we were talking about that scene in Star Trek The Motion Picture, and we were talking about it. And Ashley hadn't seen the movie at that time. She's seen it now. I finally showed it to her. And we talked about, there's like this 10-minute scene where they just circle around the Enterprise, and it seems a little excessive. And Larry Nemechek said to us, which I thought was a very great point, where he was like, no, but if you think about it, in 1979, the audience of 1979 hasn't seen the Enterprise in 10 years.
Good point.
That's the reason why they did it for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense. I understand. And with the redesign and how good the redesign is, it's almost like looking at it like the old ones, like low definition, and then you like switch it to high definition, and it's got all this extra detail in it.
And to go along with that mindset, too, is that the original series, I mean, the special effects are when they aired in the 60s, they're awful. I mean, we're spoiled now because we have like the Netflix. They have the new CGI versions of all of them now. But they were like, you know, just basically the ship just going.
They're pretty bad, especially when Enterprise had to shoot at anything. Like you couldn't like it was just like flashes of lights and stuff like that. Yeah. But there's another perspective too when you think about that back then in the day. We're part of this culture now where we rewatch everything. We binge things and we rewatch it and we rewatch it and we analyze it. Back in the day, you watched it once on a Tuesday and you never saw it again.
That's a good point.
Yep. Tape it yourself.
Yeah.
Well, in the 60s, there were no way to tape.
Oh,
there was there was no way to tape it. You watched it once and you probably never saw it in your life again.
I mean, I've heard stories of people holding like an audio tape player just to listen, so they can listen to the episode again since they never thought they'd ever get to see it again. Like,
yeah, Vic loves
stuff.
To tell that story.
Yeah.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
So, of the two crews, which do you two guys like the most?
I would go with Dave because his is far more thought out than mine. Mine is kind of erratic.
So I feel like you guys did the same thing that we did. Like we have one like really stacked crew, and then we have one like fan favorite crew.
Which is the stacked crew?
Yours. I mean, yours. I mean, you have analytics out on yours.
Yeah, like what's going to take out the Prometheus, man?
I was like, man, these guys are flying the nuclear missile around space.
The Defiant can hide from you for a long time, but as soon as the Defiant uncloaks and reveals itself, like
they're boned.
You're screwed.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. I like I like T'Pol and Sisko on the Defiant choice, especially with like. The rest of your crew, like when you got Scotty in the mix there, like Sisko.
See, T'Pol would not stand for Scotty's nonsense.
T'Pol would hate Scotty.
Yeah.
Well, I don't. I mean, who can take the place of Trip?
No, but. And the traveler's like, let's just meditate, everybody. And Scotty's like, shut up.
Let's hold hands.
But T'Pol would be totally down for the meditation.
Yeah.
They get along.
Yeah, I think it would be a weird crew. I mean. I'm into weird, like just strange stories.
The new animated series crew.
Yeah, this would be
go and like fight the devil for no reason.
Yeah, exactly. What was that guy's name? I can't remember him in the anime. Anyways, it doesn't matter. But
I thought it was Satan.
Was it Satan?
It's like Mephistopheles or Mephisto. It's one of those.
Yeah,
Beelzebub or
Beelzebub.
Yeah, you're right. It is something weird like that. But it's I'm like I would want to see like that crew go on like, you know, Doctor Who adventures. Like just bizarre things happening. Like nobody's
down.
The Borg fight the Cybermen.
Yeah.
Didn't they have like a bird guy like in the in one of the episodes of the Yesteryear? Wasn't there, like a bird guy like who was part of the crew? Like they had some really weird guys
I don't think it was Yesteryear, but there was another one. I can't remember which one it was. It's something about the end of the world. I can't remember. It's been a while since I've seen
crazy
it. Yeah, they have
things on
Well, anyways, that was my crew. weird.
I like both your crews. Good choices. You see, like I said, this is a very fascinating conversation. You get to kind of learn about how other people view Star Trek through how they build their crew.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
It's like asking, like, what's your favorite Game of Thrones characters? You're like, now I know a lot more about you than I did 10 minutes ago.
Tyrion.
I'm judging you now.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, you know, we've done our Best Doctors episode, and I don't know if I'd pick the same people I picked for, like, if we did a Best Captains or Best, you know. I built this kind of based on your rules and based on wanting to pick people from different series. So, so like, I'm not sure if it would be my top – and if we did like a different kind of like, you know, list, but just the way I think they would work together in my head, like I think they'd be a lot of fun. And I loved your take on it. I loved that you guys teased that at the end of the last time you were on. So I was so excited to do this one with you guys.
Cool, man. It was fun.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. Well, thanks for entertaining our crews.
And passing judgment.
And passing judgment on us.
Yeah, such harsh judgment.
Yes. Came down. Very cool.
Where can we find you guys online?
You can find the Red Shirt Diaries at www.theredshirtdiaries.com. And you can find Geek History Lesson at geekhistorylesson.com. You can find me on Twitter at Ashley V. Robinson. And you can find Jason on Twitter at Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. You want to add anything?
No, that's it. And you can find me in DCL Access. It's all good, all fun, all comic book, all the time.
Sweet. Very nice.
Awesome.
Very cool.
And then your YouTube channel is Jawin?
Yep, youtube.com/Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N, with the same spelling. We're going to have plenty of nerdy stuff. Ashley does a Supergirl recap show. I'm going to be starting a Legends of Tomorrow recap show. And then that's where we're going to be launching the new podcast slash video show that's going to be all comic book related in February.
Oh, that's awesome. Very cool.
That's awesome. I actually started watching some of your videos, like some of your Batman ones and like the shit
Thanks,
geeks
man.
Say. Like, these are really good. So a lot of
everybody
fun.
Everybody watches your Batman.
Check their stuff out.
I kind of miss dressing as a Batman and going up to a drive-thru.
You look a lot different without the mighty beard.
Yeah.
I mean, of course you're wearing a mask too, but it's just like, is that? I didn't know if you were just behind the camera and doing it, but I was like, oh.
And are you excited about the new Batman versus Superman? The who we have playing Batman?
Yes.
Yep.
You think he's going to fill the shoes?
I'm very
well?
Excited. I think the last trailer. I've been a big proponent of him for a while. Actually, like I kind of don't understand the backlash that everybody had when he was cast, because he had just done Argo and he was great in Argo, and he had The Town the year before, and everybody was like, God, he's a terrible actor. And I'm like, I think you're remembering 1990s Ben Affleck.
Everyone's
not 2000s Ben Affleck.
I think everyone was thinking Daredevil.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, no, not Daredevil again.
Yeah. Well, I think he's going to kill it.
I'm kind of tend to agree with you, because I, you know, like Daredevil, I always say, look, you know, It was not a great movie, but, you know, it's like you sign up to do something with best intentions, and he probably put his best foot forward, and then, you know, the final product is not what he expected probably as well. You know, he doesn't get to see how it's cut and how it's edited and everything
and,
like
and
that.
And he, I guess, quite famously told Kevin Smith that he took that job because it was the closest he would ever get to playing Batman.
Oh.
It was something I find very interesting, you know, now.
That's awesome.
Right.
He's Batman.
Yep.
And he is Batman. Oh, and I just his performance in the trailer is amazing. I like when they're talking as, you know, just super Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent. And he's like, oh, and he's got the little smile on his face that's just like whenever he's talking about Batman. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No.
I don't like you.
That's good.
Yeah, like, oh, aren't you cute, you little reporter, you.
Yeah, yeah, but it's interesting. You know, obviously I have a lot of friends that are into this too, and some people just flipped out about him, you know, Affleck being Batman. I you know, whatever.
I wasn't super pleased about it, but then I saw
Argo?
Not Argo. What's the one with the crazy girl?
Gone Girl.
Gone Girl. Yeah. And the scene at the party, like where they first meet and he's there and he's schmoozing and he's like really cool.
Right.
And I was like, oh, well, if that's okay, if that's your Bruce Wayne, I could get behind that. And then I saw his angry Bruce Wayne, and I was like, screw the happy guy. This is way more interesting.
Yeah.
And he's done, like, a lot of cool stuff, too. Like, what's the one with his brother that he did? Is it Gone Baby Gone?
Yes. Oh, that was the first movie that he directed. It's great.
Oh, my God. Such a good movie. Like, I mean, it's dark, but it's really good movie. I just love that movie. It's great.
No, I think he's going to kill it. I mean, for me, I love the Avengers. I thought the Avengers was great. But, like, 12-year-old me has been waiting for Superman and Batman to meet in a movie forever. And I'm way more excited for this. And I hope it gets it's a home run. That's why I'm crossing my fingers. Everything I've seen so far, I really like. So
yeah, it's looking fantastic.
Yeah. Well, and I when I was younger, you know, they had the comic books that were they would be Superman and Batman team ups. I don't know if it wasn't Detective Comics. I can't remember what it was called, but
World's Finest.
World's Finest. Thank you. Yeah, that's what they would team up and they would fight or solve some crime. But yeah, those are great. I love those.
Big comic stuff.
Comic book nerds.
Yep.
Cool.
Cool. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you guys so much for coming back on with us.
No, thank you. I love talking Star Trek. It's all good. Your crews were awesome. You know, you have to go, like, I hope you realize this, you have to go, like, buy that little model of the USS Prometheus, though. I can't remember, the Eagle Moss, is that? Yeah, you got to buy the Eagle Moss Prometheus. You got to sit on your desk so that every time you look at it, you're like, yeah,
that's my crew.
My crew's in there.
And you like wave to the bridge. Hi, guys.
Which bridge? Where is it? There's got to be three if it splits into three parts, maybe. Like a battle bridge and a secondary battle bridge. That'd be pretty cool. But yeah, if y'all ever want to come and talk Star Trek, since I know your guys' podcast isn't exclusively, you know, Star Trek, since it's anything geek. I mean,
we'll do something Star Trek related when Star Trek Beyond comes out. I guarantee you. We've actually had a couple ideas for like doing the complete history of the Klingon Empire or something like that. You know, like taking one of the races and like breaking down everything that's ever been said about this. You know, because the interesting thing about Star Trek is even though most of the novelizations technically aren't in canon, they've never had a producer or anybody come out and be like, this isn't canon, like Star Wars just did last year.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
So, like, for me, a lot of that stuff you could count.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
Well, and they always pull from it. I mean, so they'll say sometimes, like, that's not canon, and then later on they'll pull from it, you know, and they'll pull
from it. Well, yeah, it's the same thing as, like, Enterprise and the J.J. Abrams movie confirming certain stuff from the animated series.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just a ton of things for that. So,
but I mean, if you'll ever want to talk Star Trek and want to come back on, feel free to message us. I mean, we always love having people on, and you guys have been fantastic both times you've been on. So, I mean,
we love the Red Shirt Diaries. They're up our alley. They're lighthearted. They're fun, and they're also reminiscent of what we love about Star Trek. So that's the great part.
Looking forward to the book. And
let us know what you think next week.
Yes, we will. I'm going to let you know.
Next week's a hard left turn. I'm very intrigued to see what people think about it.
This is cool. I'm excited.
Yeah, so definitely tweet them at their Twitters. Let us know. Follow them everywhere. Watch all their content on Jawin. Listen to their podcast. These are the fantastic, actually, Victoria Robinson and Jason Inman. Thank you so much for listening, guys. Live long and prosper.
Thanks, guys.
Woo! Thanks.
Woo! Thank you all for listening. All our music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or follow them on Twitter at warp11. You can find us at synthaholics.com. You can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at synthaholicduo. If you'd like to follow us individually, you can follow me at David_J_Duncan.
You can follow me, Aaron O'Brien, at Blackbird2004. Faith, where can they find you?
You can find me at Faith Hertzberg.
And please subscribe to us. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. And if you have a chance, please rate and review so we can improve. And any feedback is welcome. And so we can make the show even better for you.
Live long and prosper, guys. At the stars we did gaze. The next morning he left stinking of gin. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh. And we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had. I love it when we get sidetracked and talk about other stuff, too.
Yeah.
You're the woo girl.
Was that good? Is it get what you got? Is that good?
Well, hey, thanks so much for spending time with us and talking. We really enjoyed
it. Anytime. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, guys, it was a lot of fun. Thanks a lot.
Oh, yeah. If y'all want to, like I said, if y'all guys want to do a topic, let us know, and we'll, like, yeah, come on. Like, I'm always looking for...
I'll gladly come back on and talk Star Trek Beyond with you if you want.
Oh, yes.
Let's do that. That's fun.
Star Trek Beyond. Yeah. You're now booked for Star Trek Beyond.
Comic-Con might get in the way, but fair warning.
Right.
Well, I mean, like, as soon as you're able to talk about it.
When is the date for that? I don't remember.
July 22nd?
Okay.
Was it June 22nd?
Yeah, I don't remember.
June. It's a J month with a 22 at the end, I think.
July
22nd.
Cool. Awesome.
So, like, the week after or whenever you get back from Comic-Con, we'll talk Star Trek Beyond. That will be fantastic.
Cool.
Got it.
Cool. Awesome.
Thanks, guys.
All right, guys.
All right, thank you so much.
Have a great rest of your night.
Have a lovely night.
Y'all have fun.
Be safe. Make good choices.
Thank you.
We try.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.